Our scripture is Acts chapter 2, page 1694 in the Bench Bibles, where we'll read the verses 36 through 42 again, like last Sunday evening, and then look at verse 42. Acts 2, beginning at verse 36, these words, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Here ends the reading of our scripture. These are the very words of God. Last time we got from verse 36 up to verse 40. Verse 40, with many other words, he warned them, he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Now that's more relevant today, I think, than it was then, maybe. But we won't go into that verse today. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000. 3,000, that's a lot, were added to their number that day. And then verse 42, that's where we're at today. They devoted themselves, and I assumed maybe that my time would be minimal today, so I'm going to focus on that word devoted. They devoted themselves. We'll maximize that. And then we'll minimize the rest of the verse to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, here's going to be the conclusion. I'll tell you right now at the beginning what the conclusion is going to be. To Carrie and Carice, it's going to be this. I challenge you to vow and affirm in your heart, for you made vows today, covenant vows. We, Carrie and Carice, devote ourselves, that comes from the text, devote ourselves with Holy Spirit help. Christians who are Reformed always acknowledge that God takes the first move and we respond. With Holy Spirit help to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, sacraments, and prayer. And congregation, this sermon is also for you in a slightly different way, for many of you have gone through the step Carrie and Carice do today. Here's going to be the bottom line for you, the conclusion. We, all of us here, as persons and as a congregation, devote ourselves to, again and anew and afresh, with the Holy Spirit's help, to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, sacraments, and prayer. Now, a quick look at the whole verse and then at devotion. They devoted themselves to, and you'll notice four things, the apostles' teaching. Brief explanation. The reformers came along and said, we need Christians who are not ignoramuses. We need them to learn what the Bible says. So teaching and learning are important. That's why the Reformers translated the Bibles into the language of the people, the vernacular. And that's why we have the Reformed pattern of the 1500s, morning worship, and then a class for everybody so they can learn. Now, there have been changes. That class has been sort of made into a second worship service. No comment about that. I just want you to see that teaching counts. If you and I go to a doctor, if we need a specialist to operate on us or something, we don't want someone who has a title doctor but doesn't know what they're doing. They got to know what they're doing. They need to have been taught. They need to learn. They need to experience. They need ongoing teaching. They need ongoing learning. And what I'm saying to you today is devote yourselves to ongoing learning the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Granted, Bible knowledge doesn't save. God does by His grace through Jesus Christ, but knowing the Scriptures is so important. Enough said. To the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. First time I went out visiting in a home back in 1975 after my ordination, elders told me, we're going to this home. They say they're Christians. They don't go to church. We got in the home. They said they were spiritual, but not religious. I've heard that since, by the way. The elders said to them, come on, folks. The Bible says, neglect not the assembling of the saints together. You belong in church. And besides that, and the fireplace was going, you're acting as if you're on fire for the Lord and you're a coal separate from that fire all by yourself. And that coal can't continue to burn, and that coal can't do what it's supposed to do, folks. Well said. Lone Ranger Christians are poor Christians. In fact, Lone Ranger Christians, so-called, are probably telling you they're not Christians at all. They certainly don't love the church Christ loves. Continue in both teaching and fellowship. And to the breaking of bread. The Reformed view of Holy Communion, and I talk about this if you want me to in our Sunday school, is that the sacraments are a special presence of the everywhere present God with a special grace. We're doing more than remembering. We're doing more than a ritual. Protestants need to listen today because they make the sacraments optional. Our text says they're necessary and essential to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You know the Heidelberg Catechism? Well, do you know what the Heidelberg Catechism teaches about prayer in Lord's Day 45? It's the chief part of our thankfulness. Now, I don't know if the Catechism is trying to say it's even more important than conversion and good works and the Ten Commandments, but chief part means don't neglect prayer. Pray much. So, end of comments on the four things to devote ourselves to, as the text mentions them: teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Now, devotion. They devoted themselves. Who are these they? Let's just take a minute with that. Because they should also be we. They and we are people who devoted themselves to, and we too need to devote ourselves to. Verse 36 is the first thing. We need to devote ourselves by affirming that Jesus is Lord and Messiah or Christ. Therefore, Peter concludes his speech, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, Savior, whom you crucified, Lord or ruler, and Christ or anointed one who's able to save. That's who they are. And now the next step in verse 42 is devotion. They and we should be people who are affected in our heart. Acts 2:37 says they were cut to the heart. What an image. They were touched in their inner being, their deepest self, with the need to do something about the fact that Jesus is Christ and Lord. That's who they are, verse 42, and the next step is devotion. They who devoted themselves are also those who repented. As new Christians, they needed to be baptized. Now, we in the Reformed faith say that to new Christians. But I explained last week why we baptize children. I won't re-explain. The form said so. They were also those who affirmed that the Holy Spirit on Pentecost was poured out not just for them, but for their children too. That's who that they are. And now the next step after all of that is they devoted themselves. And my challenge to all of you this morning is going to end up being devote yourself. Now that much said, I'd like to also read you the King James Version, because this Greek word for devoted is really a bigger word than devotion that is private, personal, and maybe partial. And the King James picks up another dimension of this big Greek word devoted, reading this way. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. I actually think the King James does the better translation, because devotion is, in our language, such a privatized, personal, and often partial thing. They continued steadfastly. I'm challenging all of you, Carrie and Carice, but all of you, to continue steadfastly. That's what Acts 2:42 is about. And if there's anything that we need today, it's to continue and not quit. Let me give you a few words in the Bible that talk about how we're to devote ourselves or continue. One of them is simply continue. Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:3, but as for you, continue in what you have learned. Don't quit. Don't give up. And have become convinced of, because you know who you learned it from and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Jesus Christ. And then that great statement, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's the very vocal cords of God Himself and is useful. Not just theoretical, theory, or for theologians. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Continue steadfastly, dear people of God. The Bible also says, put off, put on, Ephesians 4:22. We continue steadfastly by putting off that old nature. We refuse to let that old nature take control in our lives. And that can be so hard, because that old sinful way can be like a bad habit, like addiction to drugs or alcohol or whatever. Put that off, refuse it. I will not wear the works of evil in my life. And put on the new self, godliness. We also continue by persevering. Another Bible word. 1 Timothy 4:16. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you'll save yourself and your hearers. persevering is how we continue. Hebrews 10:36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Challenge, persevere in your professions of faith. Be devoted, continue in. Did you notice the second or the profession of faith form question one earlier? I made a big deal of this a few weeks ago. It says, do you heartily believe the doctrine contained in the Old and New Testament and in the articles of the Christian faith and taught in this Christian church to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation? And do you promise, vow, pledge, promise, covenant, and do you promise, by the grace of God? Again, we can't work it up in ourselves. God's grace comes first. Steadfastly to continue in this profession, the very word the King James uses in Acts 2:42. Continue steadfastly. That's the challenge today. The time I gave you a couple examples, one was Aesop's fable, the rabbit and the turtle at a race. Rabbit thought, I'm going to win. Took a nap. Turtle kept plodding along. Rabbit woke up, ran to the finish. Turtle crossed just ahead of him. Even Aesop had a good point here. Acts 2:42 is saying, don't quit, continue. And I told you about William Churchill, the old man, I think he was in his 90s, 1955, asked to give a speech, and he said yes. But he could hardly walk, and he could hardly talk anymore. And when he got up, his speech was simple. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. That's the virtue I'm asking you to promise and pledge yourself to today. Continue. Be devoted. Now, devotion means not only a profession of faith, but follow up with faithfulness, a fact that has been said so well, so many ways, and I'll ask your indulgence to hear some of those. Yes, here's why you're getting this. Yesterday morning, I had to go away in the car, and on the Moody station, there was a Jew speaking about religion to Jews. At least, this was a Jew, caller in. And she said, my daughter became a Calvinist and said that salvation starts with God. And I believe, but if it's not up to me, how do I know I'm saved? The answer was very simple, followed by more. Because you believe. God began a good work in you. You know that song, I sought the Lord and afterward I knew he moved my soul to seek him seeking me. We in the Reformed tradition don't have any problem saying, choose for God. That's what Joshua said, right? Choose you this day who you're going to serve. And many other words that suggest human actions. The genius of Christianity that is Reformed is that we realize because of our sinful nature, the choice doesn't begin in us, it begins in God. We choose, we seek God. Because God and his grace has opened our eyes to see the need to choose and to seek him, he comes first. That's Reformed thinking. Now, the point that radio talk host was sort of making was simply this. If you believe, it's the grace of God, and it's going to show by your act of believing. The Reformed have said it in such ways as these. John Calvin, faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is never alone. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, some of you older ones will remember him, World War II days, a German minister. He was so upset by what he called easy believism, and there's so much of that. We say we're Christians, but it's only lip service. Bonhoeffer and others were saying, we need life service. That's why our catechism, Heidelberg Catechism, has sections on salvation and service, sin, salvation, service, or grace and gratitude, grace, guilt, gratitude. We need to walk our talk and talk our walk. That's devotion. We need to say what we mean and mean what we say. That's devotion. We need to love God and live for God, not merely use God. We shouldn't say we're Christians and live like the world. See, devotion. Again, I'm making one point in many different ways, and I think this is important. Now, one more thing. I'm going to tell you about an experience that was deeply moving in my own life. I went in 1985 to Sully, Iowa Christian Reformed Church as the new pastor. I was just amazed at how intelligent that rural congregation was for the most part. And when they told me about their forefathers and foremothers in the faith and that devotion, I stood in awe. And then the years I was there, some of them died. And I did their funerals. We went back about 10 years after I left that church for their 100th anniversary celebration. And on Sunday afternoon, I walked through Sully Cemetery. And I saw the gravestones of these ancestors they told me about. And then I saw the gravestones of some people whose funerals I had done. And I remembered their devotion and dedication. And I was almost moved to tears. And then that evening, we had the 100th anniversary worship service I led with preaching, and then went and sat by my wife. And next to me sat one of the best singers in the church. And they concluded that worship service by singing a song that was new to me at the time, and has been precious ever since. That song was Find Us Faithful. It reads this way, at least in part. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. And then the refrain, oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion, Acts 2 word, be devoted, light their way. May the footsteps that we leave behind lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. I can't think of a better song that gets the words of what Acts 2:42 means by be devoted, be faithful. Unless maybe it's He leadeth me in the old Blue Psalter, or the one we use, the Blue Psalter hymnal. His faithful follower I would be. Now, you've heard the challenge to you this morning, and I'm going to end where I began. Carrie and Carice, as follow-up to the vows, promises, pledges you made today, be devoted. And here's the sentence I'd like you to affirm in your heart. We, Carrie and Carice, devote ourselves with Holy Spirit help to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, sacraments, and prayer. Will you do that? Okay. And then to all of you for your participating in the service today. Listen carefully. We all who are here, both as persons and a congregation, devote ourselves to, again, anew, and afresh, with Holy Spirit help, to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, the sacraments, and prayer. Please affirm that in your hearts, folks. Let's pray. Our God, may Acts 2:42 have been unpacked and opened up for us today. And may we go on our way with its call, its charge, its challenge to be devoted and continue steadfastly. For Jesus' sake, amen.